Mike Yastrzemski joins us. Mike, how are you?
Doing well this morning.
All right, good. Well, you got a nice hand from the fans here. We're going to say you got to hold that mic just like this. Angle it. There you go. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you out here. And we have to rearrange our schedule just a little bit, and Carmen will take care of that. But it's a pleasure to have you out there. And we saw you when you first came up. And we're going to talk about Vanderbilt for a little while for what happened last night. But we saw you when you first came up, and I said it on the air. I said, this kid knows how to play. He's got good bat control and things like that. Tell us a little bit about learning how to hit. Where did you learn how to hit like that?
Long time of being in the cages, living in them. Worked with my grandfather for a while growing up. Just got lucky to have a facility that was about 10 minutes away from me. And basically live there.
Well, you had a hit yesterday. You led off for the Giants. How do you feel hitting in the leadoff spot? Do you like that? Is it a different approach for you? Are you trying to see pitches? You're just trying to get one to drive? What's your approach when you're at the top of the order?
You know, it changes a little bit. You gotta play the situation a little more, but the only time that you're the real leadoff hitter is that first at bat of the game. And then once the lineup starts going through, then you have a different situation every time you come up.
What was the trip like for you? You know, going to Miami, of course, back to Baltimore, mm-hmm. and then to New York, the Big Apple. You hit some major cities on the tour.
Yeah, we had a good time. Being able to travel to these cities is unbelievable. Seeing some new places, being able to explore them a little bit on the off days and stuff like that. So we had some fun.
Adjustment for you now, again, you've been in the minor leagues with the Orioles for six. You didn't have to change colors, by the way.
No, I didn't. That was nice.
This is very good.
Yeah, I appreciated that.
Right, you're very normal. But, adjustments that people talk about coming up to the major leagues. For you, what you've been here for a couple of weeks now.
Just staying within yourself, playing your own game, and not trying to do anything differently because a pitcher may approach you whatever their strength is. So instead of trying to play to their game, sticking to your plan and not giving in.
How do you like this ballpark, especially playing the outfield here?
It's a little tough, but it's beautiful. I mean, it makes it a lot of fun. The fans were great, and just having a new place and new area to figure out and makes baseball a lot more fun again.
Well, we made you the hit of the week last night for the triple. And that ball, a big hit at the big moment. How about that? I thought maybe you were going to go what would send you in?
Yeah, we thought about it, but, we decided to play it safe and try and take the extra run.
As far as this rivalry goes, you're not getting a taste of the Giants and the Dodgers, the biggest West Coast rivalry, I think, in baseball. You're familiar with the Red Sox, Yankees, of course, and the Cubs and the Cardinals. How you feeling playing here in front of – I mean, there was a lot of Dodger fans here yesterday.
There were. It got real loud yesterday, and we had a lot of fun. And, didn't come out on top, but hopefully we'll change that today.
So playing, you're in right field yesterday. There's that fly ball to center field, like to start the ball game. You and Pilar kind of collide on that. Was that just I hear about how, like, a center fielder is supposed to almost keep calling the ball. The right fielder says, maybe a couple times and then listens. Just a miscommunication? Was it a loud game to start?
It goes back to the rivalry. It was so loud. And, the thing about having the city so close to each other and fans from both sides is that you don't have a break of cheering. Whatever team is on offense, there's always going to be a loud noise, and it's just loud out there. So we got to we'll figure that one out today.
All right, let's talk Vanderbilt.
All right,
how come Vanderbilt for you? How did that all come about? It's all right. Take a drink. A drink.
Well,
the Marty Lurie drinking game. We have that going on.
Well, it was a perfect combination of a phenomenal athletic program and academic school. And the coach is from New Hampshire. Tim Corbin's from my neck of the woods. And he was probably the biggest selling point of that. He really buys into developing men as opposed to developing players. And, it's a program that, is really special and unique, and I just really wanted to be a part of it.
All right, so you go there, and tell us about your career at Vanderbilt, because I'm building up to what they're doing now. It's incredible.
Yeah. At the time that I went there, we had never been to the College World Series, and then we had a ton of stud players that rolled in right before I got there, and then there's my group, and we went in 2011 was my sophomore year, highlighted by Sonny Gray, Kirk Casale, all these guys that end up playing in the big leagues. And then I think the younger kids were Tony Kemp was there. And so we were just stacked with these guys that have turned out to be successful big leaguers. And it's just been kind of a snowball effect that's just been going on.
How'd you like the city? Go ahead. How'd you like the city in Nashville?
I love it. I still live there.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nashville's a growing city, isn't it? Isn't it? Nashville's kind
of
cool now.
A lot of music and everything.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah, it's turning into a big city. It's the smallest big city there is, I say. And it's crazy.
Marty, it's like the bachelorette capital of the world. Guys go to Vegas, women go to Nashville. That's the deal.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, very good. All right. So now you're at Vanderbilt, and of course, you name these players and they become big stars, but you get friendly with Beatty.
Yeah, and Beatty was one of my roommates my senior year, and we had a great time. There was a couple of us, a couple guys from Massachusetts and one kid from Indiana, and we had some fun for sure.
All right, so last night, now Vanderbilt, they're playing in Nashville. Okay, mm-hmm. So set it up for everybody. We had Rich Waltz on, who's the play-by-play voice of ESPN, who did the regional last night and Friday night. So there's a four-hour rain delay or something, and a crazy game. And Duke beats Vanderbilt 18-2, 18-5. Just killed them, right? All right, so last night, Rich was on before the game. And he set up Rocker pitching for Vanderbilt. And he's a young kid. I think it's maybe his first year.
Freshman, yep.
Yeah, and he was drafted 38th round by Colorado, but he wasn't going in the draft because he was going to Vanderbilt. And, Adam, take it from here, because what a game last night.
Oh, what? He goes 130-plus pitches, 19 strikeouts. He throws a no-hitter, and then he's, like, stoic walking off the mound, like, ice in his veins, didn't even know he'd done it almost, right?
I thought that he, in his mind, he was still pitching. Like, he's like, all right, I still got a couple more outs to go. Like, yeah. It looked like he had no idea the game was over.
Start going back to the dugout.
Yeah,
like let's get three
he's
more.
Like, all right, let's keep going. I'm gonna keep throwing until they tell me I can't anymore.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Honestly, that's probably the mindset he had to have in that situation where he had no idea what inning it was, what time of day it was. He's just locked in, and that's what Corbis does best. He preaches that.
Yeah, it was. That's very astute because he stood there, and the catcher came running out like a crazy man. And he just stood there like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, like, why are you coming out here right now? I want to keep throwing.
Have you played with other guys like that who get locked in like that? They're in the zone. It doesn't matter.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I think here we look at guys like Bumgarner. Just give me the ball. Let me go get out.
Yeah, and that's the best guy to play behind is, you know, if you got a guy who's working slow, you kind of start to fall asleep out in the field, and it's easy to lose focus in that sense. But if you got a guy who's on the rubber, ready to go, you're always locked in with them, and it's really fun to play behind those guys.
So here you are. Look, you're playing in San Francisco, and 3 months ago, where were you?
I might have been in
Norfolk.
3 months ago.
Where were you?
I might have been in Florida.
Florida, all right.
Yeah, before I got traded over here.
Yeah, okay, for Tyler Erb, one of the great trades of all time. But, you know, and is this one of those pinch-yourself moments of, say, my goodness, here I am.
Yeah.
I'm starting, they love you, good bat speed, you flick the ball, you know, you look like you know what you're doing, and here you are in the big leagues.
Yeah, it all unfolded really quickly. I was happy to be traded here because this was a much better opportunity for me, and I never envisioned that it would unfold this fast. You know, I just said, I'm just going to take it one day at a time, and then one day later is here, and so it's crazy.
How about the first hit?
That was pretty good. could have done a little better on the base running, but, you know, I thought I was going to be out.
Well, let's put it this way. You were excited. And
oh,
you
yeah.
made a big turn, and things happen.
That's what they teach you, make a big turn, right? Give yourself a shot.
What would have been worse?
Being aggressive.
Would have been worse to get picked off? No.
I don't know.
I think it's worse to get picked off.
I think it's worse to get picked off, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
I think this
they're
one.
They're both not great.
Who are you hanging around with on the team? Who's sort of taking you under their wing, so to speak?
Just trying to get to know everybody right now, honestly. You know, kind of trying to make sure that you make a relationship with everybody. That way there's no holes in it. And that's part of the team building aspect of this game that people don't really get to see. You don't get to see that on the field. So to be in the locker room and try and, you know, grab some guy for a conversation, pick someone's brain about, you know, some of the pitchers, pick their brains on how they like to throw, why they throw guys certain ways. And then same thing with the outfielders and infielders, and you just find your way around to everybody.
No, it's great to have you here. I mean, honestly, it's been a breath of fresh air for everybody to have you here and to see you playing in the outfield and actually competing and doing well. You know, everyone's hungry here for success because mm-hmm. this is a team that's won World Series and now sort of, you know, where are we going now? And to see a young player come up, it means a lot. Do you get that feeling from the fans that they can't wait to see you do something? something?
Yeah, everybody's been great. Everyone's been welcoming with open arms, and it's been a pleasure to be able to be in front of everyone and have some fun.
Well, you came up from the PCL. I think everybody knows that the Pacific Coast League now is just made for offense. What's the difference between hitting down there? What's it feel like hitting in those ballparks relative to being here at Oracle Park? Excuse me.
I got my first taste of it last night for sure. I guess yesterday afternoon. But, it's different. You can't change your mindset, though. You still got to take your aggressive swings, and you can't think about the way the field's going to play or anything like that, or it's just going to drive you crazy. And Norfolk is actually a very, very big field, so I've been playing there for the past 3 years and had my heart crushed many times. So to have it happen here is... it's just average.
All right. Well, that's good. Let's face it. The PCL has got a different baseball this year, and the ball is flying out of there. So, we got to keep the perspective on that.
Ball was flying out in Baltimore, too.
Yeah. It's incredible. What a game. It's really incredible. And here you are 6 years in the minor leagues, and now you're 28 and in the big leagues and actually making a name for yourself. All right. Last question. Now you got to get ready for today's game. What's the best part of being in the major league?
Best part? Playing to win. You know, when you're in the minor leagues, there's this, there's like another side to the game that people just want to be getting better and kind of stepping on each other to get to the next level. Once you get here, there's nowhere else to go. So it's back to doing everything you can to help the ball club win. And as much as you want to do that in the minor leagues, in the back of your head, you're always trying to get somewhere else no matter what. So there's this alternate motive, which is kind of takes away from the game, and it's special to be able to come up here and try and win again.
Mm. What'd you major in at Vanderbilt?
I actually made my own major. It's an interdisciplinary studies. It was a combination of sociology, psychology, and a couple like criminal classes.
Well,
you can make your own.
I could see it. And you got a great voice. You ever think about being on the radio?
I haven't, but maybe when that time comes, I'll think about it.
All right, we'll have you back here. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, thanks for coming out, bud.
I want everyone to see you and get to hear you, and
we appreciate you
coming out.
All right. Thank you.
That is Mike Yastrzemski. Let's hear it for him. All right, more coming up right after this.